97.9 FM WCHL and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, Team USA in the finals of the Women's World Cup. Our guest, Anson Dorrance, head coach of the UNC women's team. Anson, is it surprising to you, or did you expect, that this version of the women's national team would make the final?
Yeah, we had a lot of confidence in the team. We thought the challengers would be the French and the Germans, and actually the French outplayed the Germans, even though the Germans prevailed. The match with the Germans, from our perspective, was a lot easier than we expected it to be. We thought the Germans were going to be a much greater challenge, but that was early in the tournament. Finally, against China, the U.S. team started to play a bit. The way that we can play, and even though the China score wasn't overwhelming, it was just a 1-0 victory. What we could see in that China game was the emergence of a more aggressive U.S. team. And then I absolutely loved what we did against the Germans in terms of system and in terms of mentality. And now I have every confidence that we're going to give the Japanese a great run for their money.
Anson, you look at the game against Germany, and of course, Hope Solo gets a lot of credit, as she deserves. I mean, the team has more than 500 consecutive minutes of shutout soccer, five matches, shutouts in a row. But the back four, I mean, other than the one mistake that gave Germany a PK, that has been a super solid back four.
Actually, you've hit the nail on the head, because even though Hope Solo was unquestionably the world's greatest goalkeeper, she hasn't really been tested since the first half against Australia. So the part of the team that's made the biggest difference in this World Cup run is the back four. And even though, yeah, I give Hope full credit for psyching out the sausage against the penalty kick duel, you know, by delaying and delaying and delaying and driving this German crazy.
And she admitted that she used that tactic.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And what happened, it was really interesting for us watching. The German was so relieved to be able to take the kick, she didn't even think. The referee blew the whistle, and she ran out there and hit it immediately, which is the wrong way to do it. If you want to be an elite penalty kick taker, if the referee gives you permission to shoot, you gather yourself, and then when you're ready, you finish. And the German just ran up there and just whacked it wide. So Hope played certainly a part in that. But other than that, it is. The story of this World Cup is the story of the back four of the United States.
Yeah, Germany, which had up to that point had scored 20 goals in the World Cup, is held to one shot on goal.
Well, yeah, but I think we've got to temper those 20 goals. They played a couple teams, first appearances in the World Cup, and very weak rosters. And so if the U.S. had played that route, we also would have run up those kinds of scores. So I don't think we can use the goal scored as an indication of the German attack. But what we can use is the German performance in general, which was very good all cup. So, yes, that was a great victory for the United States. I know we've got tremendous confidence right now. And I think our tails are up. I think we think we're going to win this thing. And I certainly feel we're going to, and I think we'll deserve it.
Anson, the average viewership was more than 8 million. The peak viewership for that game was 12 million people. That's a lot of folks who are sharing in the success of this particular U.S. squad.
Well, you know, this is our chance to sort of sell our game. You know, the Americans are an event people. We love Olympic Games. We love, you know, world events like this. And we certainly love it when the world events are as close as Canada, so we can just skirt across the border and watch some of these games. So the venue of this World Cup has been perfect for the United States. The performance of the U.S. team, which has gradually gathered momentum because we didn't play that well at first, I think has helped our interest. And then the fact that, you know, we've now got a 24-hour media cycle, which just feeds this engine. I think all of that has benefited us as well. And we've got some great personalities. I mean, I think everyone's got a different favorite on the U.S. team, and in a way, this is a team without stars. I mean, even though Abby Wambach, certainly with her extraordinary success scoring goals, would be considered a star, she's no longer the young player she was. She's an older player that now has a different kind of role. And if you look at the roster, every player has a collection of fans. There's no superstar. Because, again, Alex Morgan, who normally would be a superstar, has been coming off an injury. And so this has sort of divided up the interest, the media interest, in all the different players in the U.S. roster. And I really feel like this has also fed the popularity of the team.
Anson, I want to talk just a little bit more about the viewership numbers and the interest that this team is generating. It was the height of women's soccer success and popularity, if you will, was during the World Cup in 99, the championship against the Chinese, almost 18 million people. But you compare that to how many watched the semifinal against Germany. That was the most watched semifinal, men or women, in U.S. soccer history. So I see the potential for that viewership number of 18 million from 99 being eclipsed in a couple of days.
Well, you know, I am hoping you are right. One reason the 99 World Cup had a bit of an advantage over what's going on in Canada is, of course, we hosted it. So I think that gave us a bit of an edge in terms of viewership and in terms of coverage. But the next best thing is to have this event right across our border. So I'm guardedly optimistic that we can eclipse that number. But either way, this has been a wonderful World Cup for the United States, but also for the women's game. We're seeing great interest across the board. The caliber of the coverage is so close to the men's World Cup coverage. I just have to applaud Fox. I mean, they obviously spent some money on this event. They brought in some really interesting people to serve as color commentators. And they've also brought in a wonderful studio crew to sort of cover the matches and the build-up to the matches. And I love the investment that Fox has made in this game. And I hope they're rewarded for it, because they've certainly rewarded our game and all of us that are fans.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with UNC women's soccer coach Anson Dorrance. We're talking about the Team USA being in the finals of the Women's World Cup. Anson, you're pretty familiar with some of the players on this women's national team. Six players with UNC ties.
Oh, absolutely. And obviously we're very proud of the number of players of ours that have been picked to represent their country. We're also excited about the two kids that are starting on the U.S. team, Megan Klingenberg and Tobin Heath. And I'm really impressed with the performances of the whole team. But obviously I sit there with bated breath, hoping that my kids perform well. And fortunately, they both have. And it's just exciting for me to watch these kids play. And then, of course, I'm sitting there, you know, screaming at the TV for one of my other kids to be subbed into the game. And fortunately, a lot of them have been subbed in, and I'm just enjoying this to no end.
And I think UNC fans in general are enjoying seeing people they have followed or names they're familiar with playing for the national team. You talked about Fox and its coverage, and one thing that's really struck me, Anson, in the commentary is how often they have used the word sophisticated to talk about this women's team. I've heard, you know, you've heard words like athletic and, you know, team togetherness and stuff, but this is a word that's really sort of stuck out to me. What are they saying when they say this team is really sophisticated?
Well, I think when we burst onto the scene, and obviously I'm very familiar with that because it's when I was coaching the team, we didn't have a lot of weapons. Our weapons were athleticism. Our weapons were mentality. Our weapons were, you know, the sort of dueling 1v1 artists. And you wouldn't have called that first world championship team that I coached in 1991 sophisticated. Now, we would impose our will, and we were certainly a very difficult team to play against, but we didn't have that much sophistication as a team. And I think That's a really good observation, because what's happening right now, for us to continue to dominate the world, we've got to develop more weapons. And this is a weapon that the coaches that followed me have been working on, and we can even start with Tony DiCicco, who made us a better possessional team, and the coaches since. And so I think what you're seeing right now is the U.S. team maturing. Now we've got different ways we can play. We can hold it in the back. We can change the point effectively. We're playing a nice combination of the direct and indirect game. We should never lose the direct game, because even though Barcelona has become the standard bearer for the beautiful game, and the ticky-tacky short passing game is certainly a very sophisticated level of the game. We don't want to lose the weapon that the United States will always have because of our athleticism, and that's the direct game. What we're seeing, which is showing that we are sophisticated, is we can do it a lot of different ways. We can do it with short passing and come out of the back comfortably. We can do it by playing through all three of the lines rather than bypassing midfield with a direct ball out of the defense. But we can also play that direct ball with great effect. So this is what everyone's referring to when they're talking about sophisticated. We can play a lot of different ways. We can play them all well. And I think that certainly bodes well for us in this championship game, but also for the future of the American women's soccer game.
Anson, let me ask you about a particular player who I'm particularly impressed with, and that's Rapinoe. What is it that she brings to the game, especially when she goes wide on the attack?
She is probably our most creative player. And what sets her apart is her creativity results in something tangible, like a goal or an assist. Because she likes to carve people and then look for her shot. She likes to, you know, do something on the ball to buy her a little space, and then she serves a great ball to the back post, as she did to Abby Wambach to get us back in games, like against Brazil in that World Cup previously. So what she has is just this incredible toolbox of very clever and creative ideas to make things happen. And she is. She's fun to watch. I think that's the kind of player that people pay money to watch. She's an absolutely fantastic attacking player. And I can see where the more educated eye would really enjoy watching that kind of player play. And Rapinoe, unquestionably, is just incredibly creative and fun to watch.
I saw her a couple of times simply turn her German defender inside out. The girl had to foul her. She had no other choice. So I'm really impressed by her athleticism and her creativity. Another thing, Anson, from that semifinal match that really impressed me was Wambach. She came in very late. The coaching staff is now calling them not subs, but game changers. She came in and she took a ball deep toward the corner, and rather than go one-on-two or one-on-three, she made the very smart back pass to a wide-open teammate, and that led to the second goal. So it was just like, not only are they really talented, they're pretty smart, too.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to get out of a Wambach. She's no longer at her peak. Doesn't mean she doesn't have value. And you're right. I think that back heel ended up at the feet of Megan Klingenberg, who carved inside, then found Lloyd in the box. Lloyd beats her player in line, drives it across, and that, of course, Kelly O'Hara's reckless run through the center and spectacular, you know, extending her foot out to redirect it into the back of the net, which made all of us a lot more comfortable. So you're right. I think she is a very mature player. She desperately wants to win a world championship and have that on her resume before she, you know, glides off into the sunset. So she's doing all the right things to help us win.
Sports Focus will be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with UNC women's head coach, no stranger to success in the women's soccer game, having won 21 national championships with the UNC program, Anson Dorrance. We're talking about the U.S. women's national team. So, Anson, here's what we have. From a journalist's point of view, perfect situation. U.S. team going up, going into the final game the day after July 4th against the team that beat the U.S. 4 years ago. Came back with a late goal to send it to overtime, eventually went to PKs, and Japan won. Now we have the rematch.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have scripted this any better for a Hollywood movie. Yep, we're playing against a team that took us out in the last World Championship. And so this is a wonderful, dramatic element. But here's the thing about Japan. And even though I've got overwhelming confidence right now, my fear is the American team does as well. The Japanese built their success on basically two platforms. Their technical platform, their skill set is wonderful, and their tactical platform. Their decision-making on the ball is very good. But the reason I've got this overwhelming confidence is because we are so much faster than they are, and we're so much bigger than they are in two very important elements of the game. We're going to be clearly superior. Now, this obviously could be very good during the game, but the mindset coming in could be very bad because I think even I right now, I'm overconfident that we're going to win. And if the U.S. follows my overconfidence, the Japanese could do the same thing they did to us last year, make it difficult for us to score, steal one of their own. All of a sudden, we're in penalty kicks, and it could be a similar kind of scenario. So I'm hoping that even though we're very excited to be playing against the Japanese in the final, as opposed to the French, for example, I'm hoping we don't get too confident because this team has demonstrated already in the past that they can beat us, albeit on penalty kicks. And so I'm hoping that we can go in and just have the mentality, listen, we were a little bit overconfident the last time. That's not going to happen now. We are going to take you out.
Anson, one thing that really strikes me is that these teams know each other very well. I mean, you go back to 2011, there are 13 of the current U.S. players who were on that team, and there are 15 of the current Japanese players who were on that team. So it's more than just a rematch of teams. It's a rematch of specific players.
Yep, and that's a great observation. The Japanese are not going to do anything that'll surprise us, but also we're not going to do anything that'll surprise them. These are like, you know, veteran boxers that have been in the ring before. We know each other very well. We respect each other. And I think that's absolutely right on the money. So, I think all of our kids know all of their kids, and we're going to, you know, go back after each other. And obviously, we're hoping this time the final story is different, and we come out on top.
Anson, someone, one of the national writers, did a column a couple of days ago and asked the rhetorical question: why is the U.S. so good at women's soccer? And I think the gist of the story was other countries have focused on men's soccer to such a degree that we're, as far as when women's soccer started to become important or interesting, we're on about the same plane with people across the world, where that's not the case in men's soccer. Do you see it that way?
I see it, I guess, a little bit differently. I see it as sort of a cultural respect for women. If you knew nothing about women's soccer in the world, but you knew a lot about the culture of the freedom of women in the different countries, you'd do a pretty good job at ranking the teams in the world in women's soccer. So one of the huge advantages the United States has in the women's game is the respect our culture has for women. The further north you go in Europe, the greater respect women have. If you look at the Scandinavian countries and Germany, certainly with Merkel, a lot of the top leaders in the northern European countries are women. And so if you look at this sort of respect for women across the board, you're going to get a pretty good ranking of the women's soccer teams. And so in this country, what's kind of cool is on the Saturday morning, the minivan gets loaded up. It's the son and the daughter that are loaded into the minivan. They're treated absolutely equally. The parents watch the boy play, and then they drift over and watch their daughter play. And there's no discrimination in terms of, oh, I'm going to go watch my son, and, you know, I know my daughter's playing, but, you know, I could care less. No, the parents invest in both kids in terms of their support for their their interest in developing as soccer players. And that makes our culture relatively unique, because even in a country like England, which has an extraordinary soccer tradition, and by the way, of course, they did very well in this World Cup, there is sort of a sexist attitude about women playing football in England. So I think a sociologist could do a pretty good job ranking the women's soccer teams in the world, even if they know absolutely nothing about the women's game, just on the basis of the freedom and respect women have in these different countries.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Anson Doris. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a production of UNC's College of Journalism and Mass Communication.